Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And you may recall, I couldn't remember all the stuff I watched last week for reasons unknown. I remembered them when you sent me a message saying, remind me I watched this.
I've found that if you and I message each other in some form, email, Facebook Messenger, text message, something, that way when I get in here and the thing that I specifically watched... Just going, okay, yeah, do you know what? This is relevant for the podcast.
It is.
I'm going to do it. And I'll get in there and you'll be like, well, what did you watch? And I'll be like, I watched the new episode of Arrow and what else did I watch? No, we've already had the Flash. Wow, I watched a lot of superhero shows.
And you know what? I've sent myself messages. Doesn't work. I have to send it to you. So I want to start with something I watched because it just came out on Friday. And I don't remember the whole... It's Sabrina, but it's not called Sabrina. It's not called Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I just shut my phone off. It's called the something-something Sabrina...
Here, I'll...
Okay. Well, first of all...
My phone is not off. But yeah, it's something... It's not like the something... Adjective, like...
Sabrina.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to enjoy this on another level, it's really slight. It's from the producers of Riverdale.
Chilling Adventures... Ooh. Of Sabrina.
Okay, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I haven't watched Riverdale, but I know Riverdale stems from the Archies comics and that it's all sexed up from what I imagine, from what I've heard. So
it's almost an M-rated like take, which
I'll tell you,
when you look at that source material, like
where are they getting that?
It's like having, like if you took Looney Tunes and applied like the South Park sensibility to it. Almost I'm not saying that's what they've done with this, but like
it's weird.
That's how far removed it feels. Like Sabrina the Teenage Witch, the one that aired on ABC on TGIF, if that tells you anything about how hardcore that the original one with Melissa Joan Hart. Well, yeah, that was the original TV show.
And I can say that I know so much about it because I spent once an entire day with Caroline Ray. So I am clearly an expert.
Who, if you are unaware, is one of her aunts on the show, and I've revealed that I know way too much about Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Well, that 90s show...
It even had an animated counterpart on Saturday morning. Like, that's what kind of mind just boggles my mind about Riverdale and kind of what I've read about The Chilling Adventures. I'm just like... Who in their mind like was just like, you know what needs a gritty reboot? And I'm like, Dick Tracy? I'd watch that. And they'd be like, no, Archie. And I'm like, wait, like Archie and Jug? Is there an Archie I don't know about?
That's precisely what I thought.
You mean like Mr. Willoughby Archie? Like, is that who you're talking about?
So Anna Grace, who is now 13, her friends have seen Riverdale, and I could care less if she watches it. Okay, I could care, but sure, she can watch it. We just haven't. We had our priorities. We had to get through 13 seasons of Supernatural, and now we've accomplished that. So if you have seen Riverdale or know anything about it, you'll see just little surprises for you. For instance, the Sabrina world coexists with the Riverdale world because Sabrina goes to some high school, I think in Baxter, actually.
Now, you're saying that, like within the context
there can be
of
crossovers.
The continuity. Okay, in the comic books, I know that they all exist within the same
continuity. Okay, I didn't know that. All right.
Are you saying the television shows that are currently airing, like it's like Daredevil happens in the Avengers universe?
Yes.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
And so there's that. And then you see in the opening sequences all this Archie stuff. It's like, that's Veronica? I don't know what that's all about, but there are little Riverdale things planted here and there. Hashtag reasons. So the story of Sabrina is...
That's fascinating.
Isn't it?
I'm saying, like, okay, if I made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and then I came back later and somebody ate it... That makes perfect sense to me. I'm like, I almost suspected that someone would eat that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But like a shared universe between a mature take on Archie and the gang and Sabrina the teenage, like, it almost breaks my head a little. Like,
yeah.
What are they going to be mining into? Like, are we going to get like a Johnny Quest where like Johnny Quest is a bloodthirsty murderer? Like,
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, dear. Did I just stumble onto...
No, I heard that they were going to reboot Xena and make Hercules a villain. And they just released the script over the weekend. This was 2 years ago, and they decided not to do it.
Like Lucy Lawless.
Yes, yes.
Xena the...
Yes.
That's... And Hercule.
Yeah. Okay, we're going down the wrong road.
All right, I'm sorry.
Sabrina. Okay, here's the Sabrina take. For those of you familiar with the Munsters, picture Marilyn. Marilyn, which was an homage to Marilyn Monroe, dressed in like Chanel-esque, and she clearly was the one all in color when the Munsters were all black and white. Clearly, Marilyn stuck out. Her clothing reminds me of Marilyn from the 1960s TV show, The Munsters.
Is the Netflix show set in current day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. And why am I blanking on it? She, daughter of Rohan.
What?
Who is she? Daughter of Rohan.
You're talking about the I Am No Man.
Yes.
That one?
Yes.
Okay, I can't think of the actress's name, but I know who you're talking about.
Okay. I Am No Man. She is the evil aunt and says bless Satan a lot, like at a point like that. And then there's a British actress I need to look up.
You didn't bless me, the spirit has.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I have to look up and see who this actress is because I recognize her. But much like in the 90s version, there's the strict aunt and the fun aunt. And then there's a guy, I don't know what his deal is. I like him, but he's got some deal. He's the mixed race gay character that lives with them. I thought he was going to be the cat because it was a black cat and I thought it could be part person.
Does the cat talk in this one?
Not that we've heard. So but the cat can dismember a scarecrow.
That's not a thing that normal cats
This one
can,
does.
I mean, I guess comic book cats, like, I'm going to assume if a real cat, like, ate an entire pan of lasagna, it probably wouldn't end up like Garfield does. Like,
probably.
So I guess that's not outside of the realm of possibility.
Now, you have not Riverdale. And again, I've seen two episodes, so naturally I don't remember all of this. You have the school she's going to and her friends there. And then you have the school that once you're 16 and you're a witch, you're supposed to go to. That is not Hogwarts. But the people at not Hogwarts dress like...
Buxenberry? Is it one of the other schools?
No,
in the
it's just not Hogwarts.
School?
What? It's I don't even know what it's called.
Oh, my God.
The students at not Hogwarts...
Warner Brothers... Wait, CW produces this. Oh my goodness, there's a crossover we need.
But they dress like Wednesday Addams if you were being skanky Wednesday Addams for Halloween. Can you see what I'm doing with this? The uniforms for not Hogwarts are skanky Wednesday Addams. Okay.
There's the next show on the fall lineup for next year, CW.
The Skanky Wednesday
Hey,
Adams.
We've got the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, and we've got Skanky Wednesday Adams. I'll be like, whoa, guys, is there not a better name we could have come up with?
By the way, I'm entertained by this show. Let me put this out there. I just want you to try to get the visual. You have Marilyn from the Addams Family. She is Sabrina in clothing, and I'm going to say in hairstyle, just about in hairstyle. And the deal is, her dad was a warlock, her mother was a human.
I cannot get the Hogwarts crossover.
I know.
I'm gonna do my best to suppress it.
You just keep working on it. And so, her parents died in a plane accident. Plot point: I'm sure they didn't. And then you have she's been raised by her two aunts. So when you're 16, you're supposed to embrace the dark side. And you have to sign your name in the Book of the Beast. So you've got your classic.
So they are full on Satan. Embracing
yes.
that she is a witch. And this is not like, what was
but
her name?
But wait, there's more. That's the setup.
Wait
okay?
a second. Is this the same universe that has like
Archie
the good witch Wendy and Casper? Or is that a different?
Here's the thing. She starts questioning all of it. So you also have another layer.
So Sabrina's questioning her faith in Satan is what you're
yes.
saying? Holy
yes.
cow. What?
Okay, so here's what happens.
Seriously, this is about as far away from the TGIF Sabrina the Teenage Witch as you can get.
So you have I Am No Man saying you have to do this, you have to do this. Then you have Aunt Hilda, Velma's Scooby. It's an ending. Zelda. It's Zelda and Hilda.
That sounds right.
So you have Zelda is, I am no man. And then you have Hilda, and she's, well, do whatever you like, dear. And so when you're 16, and she's 16 on Halloween, and it's a blood moon, and the moon is in the seventh house, and Jupiter aligns with Mars. They're all supposed to meet at midnight for some ceremony, okay? But she has questions about it, and she goes, well, why should I just do it? No one's told me anything. So they bring this high priest-type guy to the house, who was apparently her father's mentor, and then her father was so talented, he jumped over and became whatever. And so she doesn't trust the guy, and he goes, well, our church actually is free will, and we do this, and we do that. And she goes, but what if I don't like it? And she goes, I'm not a bad person. I don't want to belong to Satan. And, you pretty much sign up for the guy. I can see you're not a bad person, Sabrina. And this whole Satan thing, that doesn't seem like a good road for anyone, let alone you. So what happens? At the very last minute, she backs out of her dark baptism, and Satan is mad. We can only assume that she has some extra powers.
You know who else they could cross over with?
Wait, it gets better.
Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
How many Satans do they have there?
Well, they could bring in Rick Springfield. So Satan's, and he's the whole cloven-footed...
Like, this isn't like Al Pacino
and Devil's Advocate.
This isn't like the charming... This is the one that shows up in, like, the Tenacious D video.
Yes. I'm about to blow your mind. Satan can possess certain people.
Sure.
For instance, like her high school principal, played by Balky.
You're talking, like, Balky, like,
yes.
Perfect Stranger?
Yes.
From TGIF? Oh,
yes.
What in the...
With a lemon twist, Bronson Pinchot is...
Like, had the
yes.
bit part in Beverly Hills Cop, like...
Yes. Yes. Lemon twist. Yes, I'm Serge. Would you like it with a lemon twist? He is the principal of the school she's going to.
Who is possessed by the devil?
Sometimes.
Balky is
yes.
possessed by...
He does not speak in that accent.
Cousin Larry? Sure. Does he possess Cousin
Larry? I'm telling Anna Grace, and I'm saying, that's Balky! He was huge in the 80s! She's like, I don't care. So, I want to run by this. We've got...
I don't even know where to start.
So wait, it gets better. So then the devil sues her because she did not.
Does he hire Keanu Reeves from Devil's Advocate?
Like, no, but she hires Daniel Webster.
Like
the devil and
Dan?
Yes.
Daniel Webster, okay. Does by any chance he bring his fiddle made of gold, like the
no.
devil to the
No, and they were not in Georgia, to my knowledge.
Well, I guess he hadn't went down there yet.
I guess.
Because he was looking for a soul to steal.
He was way behind. Anyway, so Daniel Webster helps her win the case. Actually, I'm sorry, her aunts win the case for her because evil Aunt Zelda, I am no man, she had gone with her, with Sabrina's father 3 days after Sabrina was born and pre-signed her name in the book of Satan. However, the day before that, Mom and Hilda, the good witch, had a Catholic baptism. So Daniel Webster
counteracts
said,
it
no,
or...
because she had the Catholic baptism before the Satan thing. Daniel
it
Webster
supersedes
said,
it.
She said her soul
it's
does
like,
not belong
to Satan. It's like not being
Satan.
Able to sign like yeah. something before you're the age of 18 or something.
I see I've really gone into this whole first thing, but I just want to make it clear how different it is from the 90s, Sabrina. And the storyline, as you can see, is going to develop. She has her friends at school and her friends who dress like Skanky Wednesday Addams, who aren't really her friends. And that's going to be that.
So Riverdale, Sabrina, and Daniel Webster all exist in a
yes.
shared universe.
Yes.
Man, would not have called that.
No.
I wouldn't have even called that if you let me Mad Lib something like... Wow.
Yeah. It is dark. However,
when you texted me that, why did you not sell it like this instead of, you should just check this out? And I'm not going to watch no stupid
yeah.
Sabrina, stupid witch.
I sent a message to you and your lovely wife. Watch Sabrina now. Capitalized, maybe a few exclamation points.
Right. But like, you got to sell me on it. Like, you're not just like, eat this Whopper. And I'd just be like, well, don't tell me what to do. But if you're like, this Whopper, it got a piece of chicken on it, some cheese. We toss some bacon on there, put a little Southwest. And I'm like, well.
You're not going to eat that Whopper.
All right, well, I don't like being told what to do, but give me that Whopper.
Just to throw this in, familiars are I believe, demons who have assumed the form of an animal and like to hang around. So when
I actually knew that because of the Castlevania games.
All right. Because someone had an iguana familiar. Now, Sabrina's familiar, she just kind of like put it on Craigslist.
Is an owl named Hedwig?
That would be funny. No, actually named Salem. And she'd kind of like put it out there. It's like, oh man, I'm looking for a familiar. But she didn't want to choose from the list. The pre-approved list. So you have in this whole witchy poo world, there are the ones that are associated with this specific church and are all Satan-y. And then there are the ones that exist outside of it.
So you've got like the school list, like that you go to Target and they'll be like, well, you need these erasers and glue. Except this one's like, you need a familiar.
Yeah.
You need
a familiar from this.
You need the blood of a virgin.
Yeah, it can only be an Expo marker because the off-brands won't work. Yes. She has the off-brand familiar. And there's that. And she really likes her human friends. And she does not get along with the skanks, who clearly, you know, they are, you hate them immediately. Though they look great, you hate them immediately.
This is just.
And so that is the story. She does not want to be evil. Clearly something's happened with her parents. She's led to believe they were murdered.
The catch about that, when you exist in a universe like this where, like, Satan is not, like, a concept or, like, a character, you know, in what you feel like is a story. Like, it's not just, like, theology. Like, it's happening. In the same way that, like, a newspaper, like, will say, like, you know, car accident at, you know, major whatever. These kind of characters, when you're dealing with that kind of reality, and I use that, even if her parents are dead,
we've already seen them.
You can reverse that. Like, yeah. I mean, they can be undead. Like, they can be possessing.
They very much, Lily and James Potter showed up all shimmery, kind of going, run, to get her out of the baptism thing.
Yeah.
So clearly there's something going on there. And what I find interesting is we have all these fun shows you and I like to watch. And in most of them, Satan and or Lucifer or whoever is the character in the story is usually handsome, dapper, smart, funny, sarcastic, which, okay. But in this, you have your classic bifurcated.
I mean, this is the,
you know, you've got,
like,
your classic.
These paintings on the wall of, like, yeah.
And there is, and it's obviously a clear cut line between good and evil in this Sabrina. It's not kind of, well, he didn't really mean that. I mean, this guy, he is out for her soul, and that is that. And the guy working for him with the long nails, but they're not painted, and he's creepy. That's it. And
so, funny enough, I was real close on the Tenacious D reference.
Yeah. And if she had lost the lawsuit, she would burn for 333 years at Satan's whim. And it's like, whoa. So the deal is,
they really need to call Jack Black, get him to come in there and sing the greatest song in the world.
So
now. Can that please be a part of this shared universe?
That would be great.
Tenacious. Oh my goodness.
So now on Sabrina, this is the deal that Daniel Webster has set up. Though I'm fairly certain he's not going to stick around because he had, like, what appeared to me to be parting words, and then he walked off and thought, oh, they're going to kill him off. And it was, the devil wants something from you. You are something special because he was willing to go to these lengths to get you. So something is going on that you don't know about. So you hold on to you.
I know I was joking about the Hogwarts thing. Like, this really feels like it has been heavily influenced by Harry Potter lore.
Quite potentially. I haven't seen wands yet, though, but there are.
Well, I'm not just saying. I'm saying, like, you've got like a dark lord, like, and not just a dark lord.
The
pretty much, like, I mean, the dark lord by which other dark. I mean,
we're talking tail horns on
Satan,
fire.
As far as dark lords go,
like
he
that.
Is the Michael Jordan of dark lords.
So
I apologize to Michael Jordan. You're good at what you do, Mike. I'm sorry.
Here's the deal. Because she, oh, by the way, witches have a mark, but she doesn't have a mark because, again, she's half human. So that was part of the thing as well. So because of the Catholic baptism, and Anna Grace and I are like, go Catholics. Yeah. Only there was a joke made, and I said, Anna Grace, that was meant to be hurtful. And she goes, but it sounded funny. I said, I know, it was well written, but still.
Just anytime anything's mentioned, go team! It'll be like, no, they were, hashtag no.
Anyway, so the thing is, the deal is she can remain friends with her humans, because apparently once you're 16 in this world, hanging around with your human friends is bad for a bunch of reasons. One, the most obvious, they will age at a human rate, you will age at a different rate. That's the first thing.
Is, okay, do... Do
Let
you,
me finish.
Would I rather age at a witchy rate?
Yes.
Okay.
So she gets to hang out with her human friends, but she has to go to not Hogwarts.
Whatever it is.
Yes, that something, something.
Pig
it ends with arts.
Whatever it is. It,
something, something arts. Academy, something. So she will be interacting in the human world and the witchy world. And that's where it's at. However, what I'm going to say, there's a lot of empowerment driven into this because there's a girl in her human world high school who is just horribly bullied by four pretty boy jocks. I don't know what the girl's story is, but let's say she is, I don't know. She's a flat-chested female who is horribly bullied by the pretty boys in the football team. And what they did to her was, because she has short hair and wears plaid, they lifted her shirt up to see if she was a boy or not, which is humiliating on every level. And so Sabrina enlisted the three skanky witches, and they humiliated the boys. And it was awesome. It was so you have some awesomeness like that happening, which is like, yeah, don't you wish you could do that? And Sabrina's kept saying, we can't kill them, you know. We can't just outright kill them, like that was an option. I said, oh, no, we just like to humiliate human boys. Like, yeah.
I'm not going to kill them.
Yeah, I'm going to humiliate them. I'm going to keep them around. So there are lots of yeah moments like that. And Sabrina is very much a woman of the 21st century in that she wants to be educated on whatever decision she's going to make. And she wants to know what's happening, and she does not want to be evil. So that's the setup for Sabrina. I can sum it up in, it's a lot like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, but Buffy's funnier and pop culture-y. This isn't pop culture-y funny. There are some amusing moments, but Buffy, you can count on some line after line after line that's funny. This is not like that. But it is similar in that there is a great amount of lore going on, and it's a whole lot darker. But like Buffy, she is empowered and like, I'm not going to do it that way. There has to be a third way.
I had not realized this till I was trying to check the actress's name who's playing Sabrina.
She's a Disney star.
She was Don Draper's daughter in Mad Men, which child actors... let's say 9 out of 10 are not fantastic actors. She is actually a talented actress. They gave her some kind of meatier parts in the later seasons of Mad Men. Like, I'm not surprised at all somebody latched onto that and said, we need to give this girl a series.
The guy that plays Harvey is apparently a Disney guy. You know, from, I don't know.
Maybe, you know, at this point,
everyone's a Disney
guy. Yeah, but Robert Downey Jr. is technically a Disney guy. Like, right now.
Well, yeah, so, okay. But I mean, like, it was a child star.
Right. I knew what you meant. Kind of a
Anna Grace,
Mickey Mouse Club kind of.
She's like, whoa, this is dark for all these Disney people.
The guy that is producing this, like, I knew I recognized that name. Greg Berlanti. Mm-hmm. He is also responsible for all of the CW superhero shows.
Oh, okay.
Like, because I was like, this is a very specific kind of take on this. Mm-hmm. But, like if you've watched Arrow or anything like that, like... This guy is all about like a deep dive, like fleshing it out, like shared universe of characters. I would not be surprised if he is also on Riverdale's like producer list.
Oh, he is.
Like, I'm really starting to understand what they're wanting to... Like I said, the only experience I have with Sabrina the Teenage Witch, like, when I was in high school...
You were a witch?
No.
I am not a witch.
That would be a fascinating series of podcasts. Right there. I was a teenage witch, and I'm a boy. My girlfriend, like, we would watch, like, TGIF, like, on that, like, you know, Boy Meets World. Sabrina the Teenage Witch was on there as well. I didn't read the comic books. Like, I was more of a, you know, a Marvel or DC kid. And seeing that, like I said, because it's a very, like, just
very
vanilla,
family-friendly.
Like, kind of family-friendly, just really harmless. Like, this is
not.
This is fascinating in a way that, like... It makes me, like, almost like they were like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, like, made it okay to root for the girl. And, like I said, I haven't watched any of these episodes yet, but it feels almost like they were like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's meld those two together and throw in Satan just for the fun of it.
Now, as to the mature themes part... Anna Grace is like, why are there so many kissing scenes? I said, because that's what teenagers want to watch. That being said, there's not anything that's like, oh, I can't believe that's on TV. There's not like
you don't
Netflix...
feel like they're pushing the boundaries of good taste.
No, because it's really dark. It's really all I can say. You really can't see anything. So yeah, you can see somebody's back.
You're not talking about like thematically. You're talking about literally.
It's
very dark.
I have no idea what's going on.
There's some silhouettes going.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of teenage kissing. That's about it on a teenage level. Because you know, Sabrina cannot be defiled before she turns 16. It's a thing. I don't know.
Is that by the satanic
bylaws? By the witches,
bylaws?
Yeah. That's the thing. And then afterwards, I guess, the door's
it's
open.
Fair game?
I don't know. But
I'm not up on my satanic Bible. I'm not going to lie to you.
So I can't say if they're following anything. I don't know. I am on the Catholic side of it. I got you covered there. But then again, I also took Latin. And I realize, had I have pursued my Latin degree, I could be helping these shows, because when you learn Latin, you're either going to go into a religious type of career, or you're
going to
help out
film.
Archaeologists, or you're going to be a teacher. Nobody said, hey, learn Latin, write all the spells for Supernatural.
You could. I mean, and Harry Potter.
I know.
Pretty much every single spell in there
is in Latin. Every one of them. And it burns me up.
That you
I could have done
Latin.
That.
Stupid
oh,
dead language.
No. I really, sometimes I take my books out and just stroke them and think that I'll open and relearn the stuff I forgot. Amamasamatasamat. See, that sounded like a spell.
Right. I was about to say, like, can you say that around certain books without fear that, like...
Yeah, I can.
You'll raise the dead. Kalima.
I love you, love we love.
Kalima.
So anyway, Sabrina is, I'll say 13 and up, easy, at least my 13-year-old. Jen is 12, or let her watch it, but she's a bit on the mature side. It's not what I would call family-friendly, like for your family.
And it definitively, like, if you were a fan of any other incarnation of Sabrina the Teenage Witch,
I'll say this is another incarnation.
You're gonna say that, like, you may not necessarily, like, okay, if you liked, like, 1989's Batman, you can watch Batman Forever or Batman Begins. Like, they're very, you know, they're thematically they're different.
This is a hard
but they're similar.
No.
This is like the difference between Night and Day.
Yes, or even M. Night and Day.
True story.
So
thank goodness he had nothing to do with this.
He did not. This is totally different. So, you're not going to get a nostalgic feel at all.
Like, Melissa Joan Hart, like, isn't guesting on, like, episode 4.
I don't know. Balky was in it.
That's true. I wouldn't have made...
I wouldn't have thought that.
I'm thrilled that Bronson is working.
And he's fantastic, really. He's... Because
I can honestly say I don't know I've ever seen him in a role that I did not enjoy him in.
And he's like this He's this older, handsome man who doesn't. He's the exact opposite of Balky in mannerisms and voice. And I think he's been doing tons of audiobook work.
I believe that's called
acting. Yes. So if you remember him from Perfect Strangers, which I loved. Who didn't?
Book of the Devil and TGIF. Like, who knew?
I know.
Like,
so that is Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures. And I think that is aptly titled, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina the Teenage Witch. And I only made it through two episodes because then it was dark out. And Anna Grace said, you know, some of this is a little creepy. Can we watch it in the daylight? It's like, that's fine.
Just in case whenever they broke into some of that Latin, they didn't actually turn in your tree into like a harbinger of evil and it started attacking your house.
But I found it enjoyable, much like, in case you haven't noticed, Adam and I like a lot of superhero stuff. We like sci-fi stuff. And then we like stuff like this, the supernaturally type of, well, that's interesting.
I don't watch a whole lot of NCIS. Like,
no.
I know that all these people have these real world concerns.
I've never actually seen it.
But I know it's a thing.
Yeah, I know it's a thing, and they do. I'm assuming it's a procedural mystery.
They had it on in the background at work the other day, and I'm like, between like Law and Order, CSI, like all of these acronym shows, like you. What else do we have? I want to say they started one called like FBI, but I mean, you've got CSI Miami. Like, we started designing like a CSI for Cookeville, and like it's about like kind of the smaller city crimes, and also they have like a show that connects to it about like the ones that do like DVD piracy. They're like, they just show up and they're like, where'd you get that?
Okay.
All right, you're coming with us. I mean, these crimes, they ain't the sexy crimes. They ain't the murders, but somebody got to deal with them.
So
you remember that tag you weren't supposed to take off the mattress? Yeah. Let's see. Turn around, buddy. You're going to jail. What? Oh, gee,
you're not the original owner of that pillow. So Sabrina is like that. I'm going to do a quick run through because there's something others want to know about that you've seen. I watched the first two episodes of The Rookie. I don't know what it airs on. I saw it on Hulu. It's a weekly, probably ABC, one of those. The reason I watched it, hashtag Nate Fillion.
I won't jump on Firefly like I usually do. But I will say, Nathan Fillion is just a legitimately talented actor.
He's
entertaining.
He's a pleasure.
He was the head in a jar on Santa Clarita Diet.
Yes.
If any of you happen to, like, very, very small role, but I'll tell you, like, Nathan Fillion, when he bites into an apple like that, like, it just, he steals scenes.
Much like Paul Rudd, he is very likable.
Oh yeah,
in whatever he does.
I can't imagine that if I ever got to meet Nathan Fillion, that like I wouldn't think that we had been best friends for 10 years.
Twitter exists just to see what he is doing, honestly. Follow him. He's just a delight. And he, in The Rookie, he is The Rookie, and there are lots of things about this you're going to recognize, but it also has him in it. It is a police procedural. The Rookie is, there's him and two others. He
was also in, House? No, not House. Castle.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes, for like a million
years. For some reason,
House, Castle,
because you can live in those house, things, in my mind, they...
So he got divorced, that he didn't want to be divorced, and something, I don't know. And so he decides to move to L.A. and become a police officer. He is The Rookie. He is a 40-year-old rookie, and I'm thinking, he's not 40 years old. He's 47, but his character is a 40-year-old rookie. He doesn't look 40.
Nathan,
he looks older.
Like, I am almost 40.
Yeah.
Like, I can throw a rock and hit 40. Nathan Fillion and I do not look like we're the same age.
Yeah, there's that. So that's the thing. Oh, and kind of in a Magnum P.I. thing, he's got this amazing house that he lives in because a friend of his that, I don't know, were they in a war together? I don't know. A friend of his that travels a lot, has a lot of money, so he can stay there rent-free. I don't know. I just went, Robin Masters is your friend, too. There you have it.
And the rookie also gets to drive around in that sweet, sweet Magnum P.I. car, like when he solves mysteries in Hawaii.
So you also have your classic police not the captain, but the head sergeant who's hardcore.
Just
and
busting chops.
Yes,
and...
yes. You, rookie, you're the reason why people are going to get hurt.
Oh,
because
my
you're
goodness.
An old
Do you
man.
Know how much this costs the city?
Exactly. He's just like the guy who played the cop on the Starsky and Hutch TV show. that type of gruff level, and you know, you're not going to change your ways because you're an old dog. Blah, 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 blah. My job is to get you out of here. Blah, blah. So there's that.
But, I don't like your attitude, and I don't like the cut of your jib.
Exactly.
That guy.
But it's Nathan Fillion, and so there are things that he gets to say that are Nathan Fillion-esque, and thereby it is enjoyable. Yeah, it's not a full-on mystery of whodunit. It's just Nathan Fillion being put in different situations and wearing a uniform and having that lustrous hair.
Nathan Fillion's delivery is such that, yeah. Like, you have scripts that, like, they're so well-written, like, it almost, like, enhances the performance of the actor. Nathan Fillion can take a poorly written script and, mm-hmm. like, he is one of those actors that just he brings so much to the table. Like, I love this guy. Follow him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Pretty much anything he has ever been a part of, if I have not, like, done a deep dive into it, like, it at least interests me enough that I have to, like, check it out.
Yes. For me, again, this is going to show up every week, so it's not at the binge stage yet. It is family-friendly. Yeah, I think so. Nothing registered with me because it's on one of the big networks. The only thing it has going for it is Nathan Fillion. I have no problem with anyone else in it. I simply don't care. I'm only there to see him.
So Nathan Fillion has now been a starship captain.
Mm-hmm.
He's a police officer now.
Yes, he was a writer hanging out with a police officer before in
right.
Castle.
Like,
and a talking head, literally.
How and William Shatner was also a talking head on Third Rock from the Sun.
There you go.
Was it? Is he just trying to
maybe
slowly,
he'll release an album next?
Like is he trying to slowly but surely recreate the career of William? Is he going to work for Priceline next?
I would do anything he says. So The Rookie is fine. I'm going to say it's standard TV fare, but added bonus, Nathan Fillion. So that makes it inherently more watchable than anything that's just a bunch of letters. Anything.
If Nathan Fillion decided, like, he had an interesting take on the telephone book, like, I don't think that's a good idea, but I'd be like, you got 5 minutes, Nathan. Like,
yeah,
I'll
give it to me.
let me hear it. And I'll just be like, wow, Bob Anderson, huh? I really hadn't thought about it that way. Dude, keep going.
Bob
Robert Anderson, huh? Okay. Right.
Adam Schwartz. The guy's a good delivery, man.
Yeah.
All right. So there's that. They still make phone books. I dance around the house, show my girls phone books, and throw them away. The dancing's the best part. So I saw The Rookie, and I am going to make this short for real. Alec Baldwin has a show. Adam and I love us some Alec Baldwin. I have watched the show. Again, I do love Alec Baldwin. There's something about it that's not right. And I think it's because it's on mainstream television. If it was Adam Baldwin on Netflix or Hulu or HBO, why did I say Adam?
Because
I'm looking at you.
There's 17 different Baldwins.
And I'm looking at Adam. Alec Baldwin, if it was on a show where he could really be himself,
I would almost assume somebody like Alec Baldwin would be better placed on like an HBO or a Netflix,
mm-hmm.
or something that like you don't have to be like, oh well, you can't say
right.
that. That's one of our sponsors. Let's try to take it into this arena instead of there.
And he does a great job. There's nothing wrong with the Alec Baldwin show, but having spent so much hearing him in talk shows and getting a little bit more of him talking as opposed to just acting, I feel that he's being held back. He is getting big names. I mean, he had Pacino, and he does some of his imitations and impersonations. And apparently, Kim Kardashian is friends with his daughter, Ireland, and they grew up together. Okay, I didn't know that. So he gets her an hour or half hour, however long the show is. That's, I'm sure, a big get, because Kim Kardashian, though I know virtually nothing about her, I realize, is a very well-known entity in this world. And so he did talk to her about things that were different, because he knew her from the time she was a little girl. But there's something, I can't put my finger on it, what's missing about the Alec Baldwin show.
I will tell you, probably most of your favorite things he's done
Yeah.
involve Tina Fey.
Oh.
Like, his appearances over the course of Saturday, like he's not, it wasn't just when she was the head writer mm-hmm. there, but I guarantee you some of his best stuff, especially during like late 90s, early 2000, I'll guarantee you she had a direct part
in. But I've seen virtually every appearance on a talk show he's done.
And 30 Rock, like I think we all know the influence Tina Fey had there. I'm just saying, like, that's going to be a healthy chunk of your Alec Baldwin mm-hmm. right there. And like it's brilliant. Like
mm-hmm. I feel it's disjointed. It's edited strangely. That's what it is. And the camera work is weird because it's just two people facing each other and then the camera goes all the way around
instead
them.
Instead of doing your cuts
yes.
like from yeah.
And it's
yeah.
just
it's off-putting.
Yeah.
It's like the first time you watch a sitcom that doesn't have a laugh track, you're like, wait.
And then you hate laugh tracks.
Normally they tell me when to laugh. Should I just find when things are funny and then laugh at, what is this? Like, it's not your norm.
So I'm not going to say it isn't interesting. You may learn stuff about the people he's talking to that you didn't know.
Much like Nathan Fillion, Alec Baldwin is an actor that usually warrants your attention. So I'd
yes.
say even in the much in the same way you've said The Rookie is not just exceptional television, it's best, you're still getting Nathan Fillion,
mm-hmm.
and that's almost worth the price of admission.
Yes. The only thing with the Alec Baldwin show is when I hear it or watch it, there's something off-putting. And it's not him. I know some people don't care for his politics. It's not him at all. It's just about the way the show is and the way, I guess, he has to conduct it that seems weird. And when I figure it out, I'll tell you. But there's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. And there you go. But what everyone else wants to hear, they wanted to know about Sabrina. Done. And they wanted to know about the Connors and how they killed Roseanne.
Well, I thought this was an interesting concept because, A, like, however you feel about whatever Roseanne said, I don't want to talk about that
yeah.
today. You had a lot of people like employed here, and like the show itself hadn't done anything.
And it is on Netflix. It's the whole shebang is up there now on Netflix. Yes?
It's Hulu.
I watched it
through Hulu,
okay.
But it's ABC.com. You can probably like watch it through as well. It's network television.
Okay, but the reboot was the reboot network as well.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
ABC, like initially it shows there and
okay.
Pretty much everything streams. If it doesn't do it immediately, it does it like a week later or eventually we'll find like the CW shows, most all of them after they've aired on the CW and you go to the CW app to watch mm-hmm. them within like weeks, it ends up on Netflix.
Right. Okay.
So just about every, I'm watching it through Hulu, but mm-hmm. it originates on network television.
Okay.
If you have cable or satellite or whatever, you can watch it there first. I think Hulu's like maybe a day late
yeah.
or something like that.
Okay, so this is going to be 1 week at a time for you until you wait for all of them to collect on Hulu. And this was just the first show of the
Connors.
I think
they dropped two.
Okay.
I watched the first one.
And so I guess it starts out with saying Roseanne's dead, I guess.
She has apparently passed a couple of weeks ago whenever this starts. They,
uh-huh.
They've got all of their casserole dishes. And they are making jokes that, like one of the kids, they're like, why do they give casseroles like when people die? And they're like, because you don't want people worrying about, you know, like feeding yourselves. And they go, especially when the person that died is the one that usually fed everybody. Like in our situation, they're like, but we've had these for a couple weeks. Other people are dying. Like the Grim Reaper didn't just stop doing mm-hmm. what he's doing because Rosie like passed. We need to get these casserole dishes back to these people so they can get them to other people who have had relatives. Like
mm-hmm.
very serious subject, but they're kind of approaching it with the same kind of humor that they have tended to. Dan, in this one, apparently Roseanne, as they had alluded to at the end of the last season, Roseanne had some issues with medications. And
mm-hmm.
within the reality of this show, she took two that conflicted in a way that were fatal
mm-hmm.
For her. Dan is having a very hard time like adjusting to this. Like he doesn't want to go back to their bed. Like he's sleeping on the couch because his world has been kind of, he wants something to blame, which is not a great setup for a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But Roseanne was always a show, and I mean the show, not the actress
yeah.
herself. The show was always one that kind of took things that weren't necessarily like comedic fodder, like, you know, pie in the face, seltzer water, whatever, that you know, your standard tropes of like classic comedy. They would take subjects, sometimes taboo subjects, sometimes things that like people are dealing with, like not having enough money to pay your bills. And they would do so in a way that you could relate to it and you could understand the humor, even though it might not be, it's not even like an un-PC thing, but it lampoons it in a way that you can go, I connect with that. I understand that.
Right.
Like I'm going through that. And the show is able to continue doing that because as much as it was Roseanne, the name of the show was Roseanne, she was the central character, you had this expansive ensemble, not the least of which was John Goodman.
Like, who's amazing.
John Goodman, like, even whenever they initially cast him as Dan, basically what the producer said is, Roseanne Barr does not really know how to act. John Goodman does. Like, when we get into those positions where we need, like, somebody to really, like, acting, like, we've got him there. Like, and there's a strong possibility her working with an actor that talented, like, you might be able to see kind of some runoff there. John Goodman, like, I had forgotten this because, like, Roseanne got a lot of the central, like, plot points in last year's, are we calling it a revival?
Sure.
I think is what we had agreed on. Goodman, like, I really forget what a talented actor he is sometimes because he's almost always kind of in the side, he's in the wings or he's on the sidelines. Like, he's not always the central character, but like you have this man who not only is he delivering the one-liners and kind of knocking him out of the park, you also see this performance about a man that has lost his wife of, within the context of the show, let's say 30, 40 years. You see this man just grieving, and he's doing both of these in a sitcom, sometimes within moments of each other. And if you come to expect like just an exceptional performance and experience from John Goodman, like he's still on it.
Yeah.
He is still very much like the one of the kind of the pillars. It seems that Darlene, the other daughter, it's going to be their show now. Whereas in it was kind of Dan and Rosie's show before, it looks like that's going to be kind of your central thrust for it. But it was almost this seamless transition. Like, I was genuinely concerned. You have shows that whenever you pull out characters that are essential, and I don't think saying taking Roseanne out of the show, says that you've possibly got a problem there. Like, the show was named after her. Like, she had a created by, like, credit in the most recent one. Like, it's based on her stand. Like, she had a large impact and, like, kind of creative thrust of this show.
By the way, early Roseanne Barr stand-up is hilarious. I'm talking late 80s.
Which is what they were like, we want this, your stand-up to become a show. Like, very popular. At one point was the number one rated show.
Yeah.
Like, in the country.
Life.
Yeah. And like, however you may feel, again, like, as you and I had said about Alec Baldwin, however you feel about their politics, like, Roseanne was a funny show. Like, and if you disagree with that, I can show you the Nielsen ratings about the people that disagree with you. Like, it is a funny show. It's still a funny show, even in this. But, like, the Golden Girls, very, very successful show. B. Arthur did not want to be part of it in the latter seasons. And eventually, she leaves the show. Spins off into a show called Golden Palace, is it?
You know?
It was the Golden Girls without B. Arthur. Goes off after that season. Doesn't make it after that. Like, apparently that was like one of the key ingredients to that soup. Like, the Golden Girls were not the Golden Girls without that character.
She was the cheesecake.
And I'm not gonna. Bea Arthur is a remarkably talented actress.
She is.
But like with that show, you it was gone. Like you couldn't do that show without it. X-Files. Whenever you had Mulder leave the show.
Yeah. kind of.
X-Files season 7, like when he's only there, I think, like half the time.
I mean, sure, I watched it, but still.
Then you get to season 8 and season.
Sure,
I'm just saying,
it,
like,
but still.
Your favorite seasons of X-Files, and I promise you this, there's. And if you will admit to this, I'm going to call shenanigans and say you're a liar. Nobody thinks the last 3 seasons of the X-Files are the best seasons.
Correct.
And it's not because, like, the writing necessarily got poor. It's not because the direction was just off. Like, Mulder and Scully were the thrust of that show. Once you took that out, it didn't matter if you were still solving, like, paranormal this or any of that. Without David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson, the show, it just didn't work anymore.
Correct.
And there was a very strong possibility when you took Roseanne out of Roseanne and it just became the Connors, it was not going to work. Like, there was going to be something weird or off, or just it wasn't the same show anymore, and people didn't want to show up in droves for that. I haven't looked at the numbers yet for this show, but from my vantage point, the Connors has succeeded, like, without really missing a step. Like, the only thing I mean, she's noticeably absent from it, but, like, the timing doesn't seem off. Like, the comedy is still there, and they're tackling some of the kind of the same issues, if you even want to call, like, some of them that they're doing in there. It's still the same kind of show. Roseanne Barr just is not present. But if you enjoyed, was it 9 seasons? Mm-hmm. Is that right? And then the most recent revival. If you like that show, The Connors is still very much that show.
And accessible.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so we're giving 4 opposable thumbs up to The Connors and The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Two shows that could not have less to do with each other besides the fact that both of them, well, the original Sabrina aired on ABC. That's apparently where, like, it stops there.
And I'm sure on some show that John Goodman has voiced a satanic type of character, so... Sure.
I would assume as such. No dark baptisms on the Connors this week. But the season is young.
It is. So that is Binge or Cringe. Woo, doggies. We covered a lot. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.